Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, peace, health, wellness, sustainability, and egalitarianism. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, I'm featuring the Numinous Nomad, a peace pilgrim. His name is Scott. My first interview with him was in 2015, and my most recent interview was in 2023. So we'll be hearing snippets of those interviews and also his message that he shares on his website, and he has embarked on his sixth peace pilgrimage. In the last days of August, he left Tennessee, walking America's highways, carrying essentially only the clothes on his back. He's not carrying any personal ID, phone, computer, rain gear, sleeping bag, money. He's not accepting any money. He's not asking for any shelter. He's walking until he's offered shelter. And he's fasting until he's offered food, of course, vegan food. This demonstrates his faith in radical kindness, consistent compassion, and joyful self-sacrifice. Here's Scott. This is a snippet of our interview in 2015. Very honored and happy that joining us is Scott via Skype and Stuttgart, Germany. Thank you, Scott, for joining us.
Thank you, Marlene. Nice to be here.
And I'm anxious to hear all about your experiences as a peace pilgrim and that relationship to veganism.
Yeah, right on. As a peace pilgrim, as you pointed out, I've pretty much now for 10 years, actually if you count the experiment that preceded the choice to become a peace pilgrim, probably about 12 years, my main mission is to do whatever I can to bring peace, profound peace, actual tangible peace, both inner and outer, to the world. It used to be for humans and humanity, and even though I was a vegetarian for the entire time of my peace pilgrim days, I've only been a vegan for the last 2 years of it, so now I'm trying to bring peace to all sentient life. And yep. So the website, Inspiring the Altruistic Moment, was started around 2009, about 3 years into my peace pilgrim journey, and I constructed it basically to have a platform to share in writing and vision and image, this message of radical kindness, of active, tangible compassion for all life.
Scott, and I also like your logo with the nine noble virtues.
Oh, yeah, the nine noble virtues. And basically what that comes down to is to oversimplify, which is, it's good to keep things simple, basically. It's love. The complicated thing is not the truth, I found. The truth is easy. Be kind. It really is. That sounds so silly. And yet, the more radically you practice that, the more you realize that really is it. The complicated part is getting rid of all the poor knowledge and the incorrect things that we've been taught about kindness and love and animals and diet and justice. And that's what the website, in many different ways, it's designed to help us to unlearn so that then we can remember what it really is all about, this life, this amazing life. And that is, I've got today, that's the only day I'm guaranteed. How much good and peace and joy can I bring into the world today? That's it. That's all that's important. If you happen to choose to be vegan for that day, you've already done an amazingly good deed. Everything else is icing on the vegan cake. And now I wake up and I'm much more at ease because I know that every meal that I take is an active choice not to support animal cruelty, indeed to fight against it. Every time I go to the store and only give my euros, if I was in America, dollars, to foods that do not support animal cruelty, I am supporting justice. I'm having a positive impact. From 2006 all the way through the end of 2011, almost 6 years, I basically was a peace pilgrim, meaning I had almost no personal possessions. I had no money. I refused any money for any services I did for others, and I just kind of lived on faith. When people offered me food, I said thank you and ate, and when they didn't, I didn't, and it was really an incredible time. And it still blows me away just how powerful we can be as people when we literally become one with everyone around us. And all I wanted to do was just do whatever good I could do in that day and just get as far as my legs would carry me. And that's what I did day after day after day after day. And through the incredible beauty of the brave kindness of anywhere from 2 to 10 people on every single day, I survived and thrived and made it. And it wasn't easy for these people. I mean, I'm a very big man. I'm not necessarily Arnold Schwarzenegger muscular big, but I'm 6'6", and I'm kind of a towering guy, and I had bushy hair at the time and didn't shave. I was kind of scruffy, and I only had one set of clothes on, right, and kind of grungy. And yet still, every day, at least twice, on average, probably 3 or 4 times, people would come up to me and they say, "What are you doing? Can I get you something to eat?" It blew my mind because that could not have been an easy thing to do. We're programmed not to do that to strangers. And it was beautiful. It was one of the more powerful experiences of my life. I probably will do something like that again.
That was Scott in 2015. In 2019, Scott left Germany. Another peace pilgrimage, he walked to the coast of Spain. And then he was able to make it across the ocean. And then landing on the east coast of the United States, he walked to Chattanooga, Tennessee, another peace pilgrimage. And from 2019 to 2023, he provided services. And there's beautiful videos on his website about a forest that he helped to take care of. In August of 2023, he set out on his 6th peace pilgrimage. Many people have asked Scott what they can do to help. Scott released a video before he left, explaining how he feels people can help. Here's snippets of that video.
I've been essentially living in such a way as to try to somehow inspire other people to also adopt a ethic of radical kindness, what I call radical kindness or practical selflessness. And often when I would travel around the world doing this, mostly the United States and some in Western Europe, a little bit in Mexico, but mostly in the United States, I would speak to people about practically why this works in a non-spiritual, very scientific, psychological, sociological, biological explanation as to why this works as herd mammals, why it is effective to live this way, even though admittedly scary, that when it's done courageously, it always bears really good fruit in the society, in the immediate environment where it's done, but then it also ripples out, and it actually can, if enough of us were to do it, it could have a very powerful transformative effect on our entire society just in a matter of generations, a few generations. So, briefly, why it's important now more than ever to join Team Kindness or Team Compassion, Team Community. I call it Triple C sometimes, you know, community, courage, and compassion or caring. And we'll talk about each of those in a second. The reason why it's really important now is if you understand anything about human history, and look at it and transpose it onto what's happening today, it's pretty clear to see that certainly in the United States and Western Europe, but I think in many other parts of the world as well, it is a global capitalist oligarchy after all, and that's undeniable. There's no need to discuss that. We live in a global-wide, globe-spanning capitalist oligarchy. That's just an unfortunate truth. And if you do any research into what oligarchies do and how they evolve, actually oligarchies by their nature have only one direction, and that's devolution, that's devolve into collapse and chaos. That's all oligarchies can do. There's no reversing course and going back towards democracy or decency or more socially just constructs. When you're in an oligarchy, you're stuck with it. And we are in one. And so once you accept that and start looking at what's happening with our current oligarchy, where there are more and more every day, more and more and more really, really poor people, and fewer and fewer and fewer rich people, and those wealthy people who have the power and are literally running the show on a sociological level. There are fewer and fewer of those, and they are wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. And when you recognize the concurrent truth that corporations and politicians and to a large degree, all domestic police forces in all Western developed countries are all in harmony to support the interests of the few against the needs of the many, you realize, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to sit back and realize, we don't have too much longer before this really hits the fan. It already is starting now, and it is really, I firmly believe, going to get really bad really soon. And I don't want people to suffer. It is going to be a time of massive suffering. Ecologically, we're already on the brink. And economically, it's about to collapse as well, probably at the same time, or roughly the same time. And that's going to be a rough, unpleasant time for all of us. Yeah. Will it happen in 2 years? I don't think so. Will it happen in 20? Maybe. I'm looking at more between 50 and 200 years from now. It is going to really, really get hairy and not pleasant. Massive suffering, a cull of our species. And so the next Dark Ages, if you will. And that's just the way oligarchies work. They just continue to concentrate wealth and capital until they start running short on resources, and then they start abusing their citizenry. Look around, it's happening. And then once that doesn't work anymore, and they don't have new sources of resources to exploit, and they've already exploited all the people they can, they eat themselves alive and they collapse into chaos. In the end, it is not the most powerful species or the most powerful being that will survive times of calamity, right? It's not the guy or the family hunkered down with the most AK-47s in the woods. That's going to draw others to you for conflict, and even if you do survive, what kind of life is that? Hunker down behind a wall, shooting at anything that moves. That's not a viable, peace-filled, worthy life. We want to live a beautiful life of peace and joy and harmony and compassion, right? And it's possible, but you can't put up a wall and collect a bunch of guns and get ready for the showdown, right? Instead, we need to adopt a different way, which is adopt the opposite of that mindset. And there are three essential planks. The first one is community. You have to live community-based. And what I mean by that is two things. First of all, it's self-sustainable. And second of all, it's generosity-based or giving-based. And what that means, essentially, is very quietly, you go off the grid. Now, that doesn't mean you need to land in the middle of nowhere. You can do this in a high-rise, right? You just need to find like-minded folks, between 10 and 20 of them. Heck, between 8 and 15 of them, if you will. But you need to have a collective of people who agree that this is important and agree to support one another and become self-sustainable. Find ways of growing your own food, collecting and purifying your own rainwater, installing solar panels or maybe tiny windmills so you have a source of basic power, and agree every day that you will invest the majority of your energy in helping one another. And eventually you'd get to the point of real self-sustainability, where even if the government cracked down really hard and or completely collapsed, you would be able to thrive and help those around you who would be suffering. Self-sustainability. That's the first thing. If you start today, your kids, and certainly at the very latest, your grandkids, will thank you, okay? Because we've got to have communities of giving-based people that can survive through the coming darkness, the dark times. They're coming, maybe 200 years from now, maybe 100, maybe 50, but it's on its way. So, that's plank one. Plank two, this says compassion, or caring, meaning, number one, you have to go vegan. And number two, you have to actively care for the downtrodden around you, not just those in the self-sustainable community that you develop. Okay? And the reason why you go vegan, it's healthier, and we want you to live as healthy and as long as possible. And a plant-based diet is, of course, 100% slam dunk science, the best way to do that. We'll extend your life by years, and will make those years far less chronically disease-riddled. Great. The real reason you go vegan is because it's morally consistent If you're going to develop a compassion, justice, decency, kindness-based society, which is the only society worth saving or having, then you cannot simultaneously with that say that it's okay for your own pleasure or convenience to cause other equally worthy beings to suffer and die violently. Does not work. It is a guarantee for a collapse. The only way this new ethics will be able to be powerful as if it's consistent. And so, for practical reasons, as I've already mentioned, but really just for ethical consistency reasons, to give your life potency as opposed to just the right direction, you'd have to go vegan and decide that you will never intentionally, accidents happen, but you will never intentionally harm another sentient being for your mere comfort or pleasure. And the other one is care for the downtrodden, which is obvious. While you are establishing, and certainly once you've established your self-sustainable community, then you are morally called, we are all morally called, to go out and look for those who are sad, depressed, frightened, scared, hungry, thirsty, homeless, and clothe them, and house them, and help them, and care for them, and love them, and speak with them, and do what you can to ease their suffering as well. And mentioning courage, that's the third plank, is we have to have courage, is the third way. And what that essentially means is two options. You can do both or either. The first one is peacefully protest, you know, be civilly disobedient. And the second is show regular acts of flagrant kindness to strangers and or anonymous kindness to enemies is also very, very powerful.
We just heard the recording from Scott, the numinous nomad. And that recording is from his video page, and that is August 2023. And here's a short snippet of my interview with him in June of 2023. And how is it being back in Chattanooga, Tennessee?
Interesting. Really interesting. You know, there's always something to do. I mean, that's all I do all day is I look for ways to help other people and serve other people. And of course, in this day and age, you don't got to look far. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I got back. My last day of my walk was... I walked from April to September of 2019. So near the end of 2019, I arrived in Chattanooga. And of course, just a few months later, COVID came, right? So I couldn't really walk a pilgrimage. I have no problems. I would have no problems walking again right now. There was that 2-year window when I really was just here and just was doing the best I could to spread the vegan message here. Which is difficult. I mean, online we always can, but you know, there wasn't much interpersonal interaction with neighbors and community members for quite a while there. So it was an interesting time for a vegan activist, any activist really.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, it's really a shame the agenda of the globalists and the detriment to humanity and of course all the animals as well.
Yep.
Yeah, so we got to keep at it because...
We got to keep at it.
Yeah,
no,
human
no
freedom.
No rest for the weary. We got to keep going.
Human freedom and world peace require animal liberation.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
We're listening to Scott, a peace pilgrim, currently based in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Scott. We're listening to the music of Will and Madeline Tuttle, Beyond the Sky, from their album Inspiration. Welcome back from the break, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're continuing our conversation with Scott, a peace pilgrim, vegan activist. Human freedom and world peace require animal liberation.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. What is that quote? What does it say? Something about if we don't change, I forgot who said it, and they said it much more eloquently than I ever would, but it was if we don't make a dramatic shift as a species, we will not survive, nor will we deserve to.
And it sounds like hyperbole, but that is, you can take a little glance at the science, you know, economically, ecologically, politically, and we are right there. That is, it is the beginning of that being very, very true. And going vegan is critical to the viable survival of our species in any moral sense, in any moral iteration of who we have been called to be and can be as steward, potential stewards of this planet. You know, we weren't called, if you believe in calling, some people don't believe in that. We didn't evolve in our highest form to rape and pillage the planet and then get on spaceships and go rape and pillage the solar system or the galaxy. You know, we have the potential to be stewards of the same, caring stewards of the same. If veganism is not tied to that, then it's just patently hypocritical and would lose, any stewardship would lose all of its power and viability. So veganism is the most important, in my opinion, this is my opinion, the most important cause by far of the day, though there are others that are worthy of attention. So
yes, thank you, Scott.
And it's going to be fun at some point, you know, and the next walk is calling. It was really fun on the walk back from Germany. I met thousands of people, of course, along the way. Anybody who's walking with the clothes on their back with no money tends to gather attention. And there were lots of different ways that I tried to spread the vegan message on the walk back. I took some stickers with me, and I would put stickers on park benches, and I would drop pamphlets in bus stops. And I'm a big fan of graffiti, and so I would I translated that famous Tolstoy quote. It sounds so much better in German than in English, but probably even better in Russian. The one where he says, "As long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields." So I had that in all four languages, and I would write that. I took a Sharpie with me, and I would just graffiti my way along. But really the most powerful thing I did was just being hungry a lot of the time. And then when people offered me non-vegan food, very politely declining, even though it was obvious that I was hungry and had no means of procuring food myself. And so that was always really interesting. I think that was probably the most powerful thing I ever did on the walk. People, you know, being inspired, going out of their way to say, "Oh my God, sit down. I've got to get you." When they found out I had no money and was just walking for peace, they would sit me down and they would run over and bring me food. And over half the time it was non-vegan stuff. And I would say, "Really? I deeply apologize. You know, it's okay. I expect nothing. And I'm grateful for the gesture. It's very, very kind of you. And yet I don't eat animals. I don't contribute to animal cruelty. I only eat plants." And then invariably a conversation would start. Some people got a little offended at first, you know, when you reject the gift, but I was always kind enough that almost every time it moved into some form of calm communication, respectful communication of the message. And so at some point here, another walk is knocking. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm excited about that. I don't really need to make any stickers or have any pamphlets. I just need to walk hungry. And then anytime anybody offers me non-vegan food, just give them a hug, say thanks, but no thanks. And I think I have great faith that that does something powerful. I mean, to be that consequent, which from the outside, I mean, that looks like an amazing thing. He's starving and he refused food for the animals. You know, as a vegan, and when I mean vegan, I don't mean anyone who's doing it for their personal health or to save the environment of the planet, though those are fine things. I mean someone who is vegan the way Donald Watson defined veganism, which is it's an ethical way of being. There's no way, once you go vegan, there's no way not to be vegan. Once you choose to make, you know, be a kind, just, compassionate person to all beings, it's not like you can just stop doing that. So it's not like it was ever a difficult decision, no matter how hungry I was, right? It was that option was never on the table. So it wasn't difficult at all for me, but it looked difficult, you know, and that's why I think it got through and will get through and keep getting through. I hope.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott.
And like I say, once you start, which you're well aware of it, as are all of our vegan, current vegan friends around the world. I mean, once you adopt that ethic, it's not like there's an alternative to go back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scott. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners, and how can interested folk contact you?
My website, which is inspiringthealtruisticmoment.com. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. My email, if anyone wants to email me, is rediscoveringpeace@gmail.com. And when I'm walking, because Gmail tends to shut me down when I'm walking because I keep signing in from different computers and they keep thinking I've been hacked. So I have a backup, which is rediscoveringpeace99, the number's 99, at protonmail.com. So anyone who contacts me, I don't know how long it'll take me to get back to you, but I do get back to people. The parting message I give, I keep it simple. It's be kind when least inclined. And that definitely, that's for all sentient beings, not just for our fellow humans, which is, it's really easy to be loving and caring and friendly to folks when things are going good. But it's when we're kind in difficult times towards and or towards people who are being difficult that we do real powerful good. And we shine the light that is needed to be shown. So that's what I would say.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It was an honor to be here.
We're listening to Scott via Skype in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Scott is a peace pilgrim and has been for decades, and a vegan activist.
Thank you so much for what you do, Marlene.
Okay.
Who knows, if I ever make it to Massachusetts, we can hang out.
Yes, for sure.
Cool beans.
Okay.
All right, take care, friend.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a good day. This broadcast is an update on Scott, the numinous nomad, since he has, quote, been heading north at a clip of about 20 miles per day on foot, and now that the weather is starting to cool off, will soon be heading eastward and then southwards towards Florida, hoping to be far enough into the warm realms of that glowing state before winter sets in. This update is the middle of September. Scott, the numinous nomad, just left on his sixth peace pilgrimage. He left Chattanooga in the last days of August. And this is what he has written when he receives a lot of questions about what services that he has provided during his journey. And he wrote, quote, "As a landscaper, I learned that it is best to harmonize with what the earth desires. As a construction worker, I learned that all things are innately impermanent. As a prosecuting attorney, I learned that forgiveness is the only effective form of justice. As a basketball coach, I learned that winning is worthless if it means that another must lose. As a home painter, I learned that all flaws can be seen as beautiful art. As a feng shui analyst, I learned that we affect our environment as much as it affects us. As a farmhand, I learned that death is a part of life and that it is not necessary to kill in order to live. As a prep cook, I learned that there is no job too small to have a significant positive impact on others. As a teacher's aide, I learned that children are the wisest of teachers. As a house sitter, I learned that home is wherever you are and to act accordingly. And as a nanny, I learned that there is nothing more important than extending kindness to others." Heartfully Awake is the song we're hearing by Joseph Peck. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.